This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season. Godless, I gon' weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Bro, bro.
Ah, what's on that
boy?
What happened?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke Baton.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tonight, we're going to have a wonderful show on the local talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I just want to say to Guardian Radio, over the course of the years that I've been here, the show has been very meaningful and educational for a lot of people in the country as I travel through the community and around the country. And many people say they get a lot of information from the show, a lot of ideas from the show, and it's very helpful to try and push, you know, the life further. And I just take this opportunity. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to really make a difference in the country. And for all those who take the time to listen, I really appreciate you guys. Today on Inside the Inner City, we're going to talk about a little bit about the crime. We're going to talk about the effects of crime and maybe what we can do to slow down the process of crime. And in particular, we just recently had a shooting on a Camp Road public park and a young life was lost. But at the same time, four other young men were charged with his murder on their age range anywhere from 15, 16, and 17. They were brought before the court, I think, yesterday. They got remanded to the Simpson Pen for boys because, you know, they're juveniles and they have to go before the juvenile panel. And then, I guess, I don't know if they're going to be tried as adult or whatever the situation is going to be. But nevertheless, it's a sad situation in our country. And not only that, if we look at the stabbing incidents that happened at our public school, let me just read a little bit about it. All right. So we have pupils stabbed. Two students were stabbed during an altercation at A.F. Adley Junior High School. You know, Superintendent Arlie Peters stated yesterday. But the good thing about it is that no one lost their lives, and those who were injured, taken to the hospital where they were attended to. You know, ask yourself a question. Why is it that a 13-year-old on a public park, right? The parks, you know, they're public and they're not monitored. Over the course of my time being a community activist and any opportunity I have to express myself to the powers to be on certain circumstances concerning these type of situation in this inner city community, I always would try to find ways on how we can counteract the illegal activities that happen on these public parks. The reason these public parks are not doing what they're supposed to do is to educate us to be a place of green space and where the community could come and get together and have fun is because leadership is so lacking in this country now, all across the board, especially in inner city communities. You know, these kids, when they go in the park, you know, they're 13, they're 10, they're 9, they're 8. And the only thing they're seeing is what around their environment. So it's like, what's going on in the States? United States of America has over 200 plus mass shootings. So when you look at that, and all are like copycat, it's like, it all started off with Bonnie and Clyde. Now the American public has followed that same copycat, just like serial killers. So what I'm saying to you is, in the United States of America, you're going to continue to have mass shooting now because it's a part of their culture now. You know, most people would go into schools and churches and just kill people randomly. Some for racial, some is not racial, some is just people who are religious ideology, and if their ideology don't meet your ideology, they take it on themselves and say that, you know, their God and their Jesus told them to do this, and they would go and do heinous crimes. But what you're seeing a random repeat of this in the U.S., where we have a lot of mass shooting. Schools, we just saw where the little kids got killed from an ex kid in the school, you know, 8, 9, all kind of people getting shot. So our kids, without leadership, without community leaders, without the church leaders, they are prone to become a part of the community that is less productive because there are no leaders on these parks. So I always said to myself, you know, when I have the opportunity to speak to the leaders, you know, when I have a chance to go to the office of the prime minister and be meeting on community programs that could be beneficial. I always said that we need to put security guards on the park. We need to fence the park. We need to man the parks. We need to have trainers and instructors on these parks for a certain amount of time. Then we log these parks, and then we let these kids go home. You can't just let kids go on public parks nowadays, especially with community leaders or no positive activity going on in this community. You just can't. You know, they're just kids just doing what they want. So ask yourself this question. A 13-year-old probably got an argument. They said gambling. And first of all, gambling. And some other 14, 15, 16, 17, 4, let me see what the age is. 14, 15, 16, you know, had altercation. And they went and get a gun. And they decide to pass the gun on to one another. And they shoot a 13-year-old. Now, ask yourself a question. Where could young teenagers like that get a firearm from? How could they be living in this community at this age and have a firearm and know that, hey, my first action is going to be, if anyone messes with me, this could be an older gentleman. As we can see, that was a 13-year-old. It could be anybody. So if you cross these kids, and where would they get these guns from? They're going to use it out of frustration because they go from 0 to 100. And that's what we've seen happening all around the country. And I would like to say this to the guys on the inner city community who have these firearms and who live in these communities. You have to be more open-minded to understand that you're destroying your community and your country. You know, if these teenagers have a brother or uncle or a father who is doing illegal activities, right? These kids are seeing that. And they're going to their uncles or their cousins or whoever it is they know who live in the community, can be someone who, you know, who just known for illegal substance or illegal firearm, and they would hang. I want to say this to the guys. Be more careful. The kids' firearm, because they're going to make a bad decision. And now look, two, three days later, they're before the court. So does it make any sense for you to go there and get a gun, shoot an ex young Bohemian? Now you, before the court, looking at getting life sentence. So we lost 5 lives. One is going to be going to his grave. The next 4 is going before the court. And whatever the outcome is going to be, their life is never going to be the same again. The young gentleman who got killed, 13-year-old, his life is already gone. His parents will always have pain in their heart. And I know how it feels. And I always say this is going to keep on happening. There's so much Bohemians are going to be hurt because of violent crimes in our country. You know, it's just adding on. Every day you listen to the news, someone is getting killed, and you see the expression of the mothers or the fathers come on the TV and radio and talk about the pain that they're going through and the suffering keep at night because they have lost their loved one. And there's a lot of hate building up in our country, you know. And I want to say this to the guys, you know, I know you're doing your illegal activities, but for those who are in the gun sale business, you need to slow down, or you need to stop what you're doing because you're destroying the country. And one day you can't control this, okay? I was a guy, I was involved in gangs and et cetera, selling drugs. But that didn't exclude me from becoming a... I've had numerous family members killed, even being a top gangster. I had numerous of my family members killed, not because of me. It's just because of how society was. So I could have been the baddest man in the country. That don't mean someone's not going to take a shot at my sister or brother, because people really don't care who you are nowadays unless you're respected in the community. You know? So I want to say to the guys out there, you know, I know you got to make a living because, you know, it's high unemployment in the country, but we're destroying our country. You know, you can't be giving guys guns to go kill other young Bahamians. That's not going to happen in our country. As far as the guns, how could these 14, 15, and 16-year-olds get guns? And they live in this community. So it tells you about the decay in the community. Oh, boy. Then we look at the stabbing in the school. You're supposed to go to school to get education so that you can make something of yourself. And yet still they go to school to try and kill one another. You know, I always say that we're going to continue to have students, you know, get killed, either from knife or altercation at school. We have seen it over the course, over the years. And they're no different than the same four young men who get charged before the court for taking the life of 13-year-old Mr. McKinney. Is that every part of the country, if it's in Bain, it's in Mason Addition, it's in Camp Road, we have problems just like, we have problems. The same type of problem we have with our four kids. Same problem we have with the two kids in school and many other kids. There are hundreds of kids who have this problem right in our country. And we're going to have to address it. And I want y'all to pay close attention of the age I'm talking about. That's why it's so serious. 13-year-old killed by 14, 15, and 16-year-old. I want to show you, and I want you to listen closely. This is my analysis. Watch the age of 13. 13-year-old get killed, all right? So, Ali, could you play the flick for me, please? I want you guys to listen, and I want to just tell you about 13.
I described him as a monster when he came out. What I saw, scary. That was nobody who anybody wanted around them.
That's the frank assessment of 58-year-old Ronald Scott, his brother. 55-year-old Alden Scott was released from prison on Friday, with officials announcing his status as a registered sex offender. According to the older brother, the 55-year-old died in hospital this morning after he was found bleeding from the nose through a dirt road. He wasn't sure what his exact cause of death was.
Automatically, he knew that that was going to be a death sentence for him. I'm not saying that he was no saint, right? But that's being judge, jury, and executioner to him. That's my opinion on that. Because you know for sure you're going to stir up the public. You know, saying, but he's not the only criminal. There's plenty of sex offenders out there who have done worse crimes than him or as bad crimes as him.
Scott, who lives in Grand Bahama, tells me that his brother was expelled from school at the age of 10 for stabbing a teacher with a protractor from a geometry set. He says their father then asked him what he planned to do with his life now that his schooling days were done at just the age of 10. The older brother says that was too young an age to neglect him.
But he was removed from school, and I don't think he got much support from our parents because he was pretty much left to just roam the streets by himself. They didn't try to get him back in school. They didn't do anything basically for him. He just ended up on his own from the age of 10.
I spoke to Scott, a mechanic with six children, over Zoom. He tells me that at 13, his brother wound up on the maximum security wing of the prison as part of a group of charged with murder and armed robbery. It was just one of many stints he had behind bars.
I can imagine how much time they must have raped him when he was only 13 years old. If you don't turn into a beast, then you get eaten by the system.
Members of the public have called on government to do more to ensure that perpetrators of sex crimes are punished for their acts. The enforcement of a sex offenders registry, which Scott was on, has been hailed as a step in the right direction. The 55-year-old last went to prison after he admitted to indecently assaulting a 9-year-old girl. Prior to that, he served 6 years for raping a 17-year-old girl. And while he refers to his brother as a monster, the older Scott brother doesn't think he bears the full blame.
He was a bad person. I'm not here to try and goody tissue him to try to make it look as if like he was some innocent person. He was not innocent. He did some horrible things, some horrible people, and for that, I empathize with them. But I don't think that his life had to turn out that way.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I am Jared Higgs.
All right. Thank you, Ali Roll. Now, from the inception of this show, you heard me talk about hardened criminals at the age of 13 getting put in prison. Now, before they're 13, they live in the community. Now, I don't know, it could be Camp Road, it could be Anglestown, it could be Bantown, it could be the family island, it doesn't matter, right? So what happens before they get 13? They live in this community. And first, let me just talk about us. I would say to parents and fathers, you have to do more to try and steer your children in the right direction. First, take responsibility because, you know, I walk around the streets and sometimes I see mothers sitting down drinking with their young daughters or smoking marijuana joint with their daughters or fathers sitting down in a house or not drinking with their sons. Your children is not your friend. So you don't spoil the child and they ain't got no respect for you. You understand? How could you be sitting down, right? Telling your child that drinking is wrong and smoking is wrong and et cetera, because you know that the brain is not fully developed until the age of 21, right? So if you have a teenage son still in school, marijuana, then you allow them to become a part of the streets. And these streets would eat you. And the mothers, you can't be sitting on and drinking with your daughters, all right? Because when rows start, your daughter believes she is more woman than you. So it starts for us. Yes, there's a lot of poverty happening in the country. But it's time many of us take responsibility to see the destruction what we're doing if we don't step up and be leaders. You know, not only on the community aspect, I'm talking about being leaders in the house. And I know that poverty, you know, and tough times and unemployment right now is just a lot of stress on thousands and thousands and thousands of babies in this country. But at the end of the day, there are some things we can do to bring change. And things we can do is understand the fact that our children, who we bring in this world, they are our responsibility. You know, the first thing you need to do, you need to plan. Because I want to say this to Bahamian people in this country. I really feel that our biggest problem is that we don't have a plan. Like, what we want to do? Yes, we go to school. We want to work. We might want to start a small businesses. But are we planning that, hey, when we have a child, what are the responsibilities that I'm going to have to do to make sure my child achieved the best education and the best life that I can offer? But it seems to me that we are just having sex, just finding a girlfriend. We break up with one woman, or one woman break up with us, and we just go on our life, and then we see a next lady or we see a next man, and we get in a relationship, and we're not planning, and we just have a next child, and then we break up with that person, then we go and we don't speak to that person no more. So that child got to grow up with not a father figure on a constant basis who's going to be there to lecture him and tell him what's right and what's wrong. The relationship is going to deteriorate where the father is not going to have that communication with his child, and the child is going to reject the father. And because of that, that's why so many of the young men now, their fathers can't even talk to them, you know? I've seen sons talk to their daddy so bad. I've seen daughters talk to their mothers about their underneath. Daughters who the mother bring with their wombs tell their mother about their underneath. All right? I've seen sons fighting with their fathers. All right? And I have to intervene. It's crazy, Ocha, because we have fallen short with the family structure. Many mothers and fathers, aunties and uncles have become friends with their children. And they accept, they're not setting no examples. Those 13-year-old, that 13-year-old who won the park at that time, do you think he's supposed to be out at the age of 13? Those 14, 15, 16, 17 who charged before the court, do you think they're supposed to be out late at night? Don't they supposed to have a time to be inside because they get school? We don't check no more. We just go to work, we give the kids what they want, and then we expect for them to turn out the best way, you know, possible. It's crazy. You know, we have to take responsibility. Your child is not your friend. Mother shouldn't be sitting on smoking and drinking with their daughters. If anything, you hide from your daughters because you don't want your daughter. You want your daughter to turn out to be the best that she can be, and your sons to turn out the best they can be. But as it stands now, we look like we're completely corrupted. We have a call? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy, but this is the time when the daylight saving is large in the afternoon that I'm able to tune into you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I was busy in the week, missing out on these murders, you know, the little ones, you know, the young ones, killing the young ones.
Yes.
I called in because there was a thought came to my mind to get on the ball to work with you. Remember when I used to walk and ride bicycle, I used to come and look for you.
Yes, sir.
And now that I'm driving again, I need to make more time to come and look for you.
Yes, sir.
The plan I want to find out from you is how we can maybe work on a few at a time. That's one or two or three at a time, because it looks like there's so many cases around that it's hard to try to work with them all together. But if we can work with a couple of them, it'll be a step in the right direction. I have a concern, as you mentioned, about parents being like their friends to their children too much, so like equals.
That's right.
I know of situations where boys will go to the barbershop every morning or very frequently in the week just to shape up to go to school, maybe spend a little $3, $4, $5, $7, whatever it is, but they won't pick up a book from the time they left class the day before.
Yes.
But they will go in the morning to the barbershop and sharp and look nice and sharp. Nothing wrong with looking good and sharp, but the most sharper thing is to get your education in place.
Yes, sir.
And so if we can maybe work with a few, let's let me know how we can work it out. I know I am available on Friday afternoon and perhaps, but there's the same time you have your program, but between maybe the hours of 4 and 6 or whatever it is before your show comes on, if we can work with some of these children and see if we can get it wrong.
Yes, it's no problem. The center is almost getting ready to start, and we're looking at a state-of-the-art community center. So places like yourself, teacher, it's needed most important in our country, and definitely we can't wait to get it because we have a space on Friday all by my soon-to-be restaurant where we could grab a couple of young men in the community and young girls in the community, and we could steer them in the right direction. And we have some resources coming in also. So, teacher, no problem. And we all on board on this one, yes, sir.
Okie dokie. Yes. I will drop you a line as a reminder, you know?
Yes, sir.
And you also need to remind me too, because times can get so busy.
Yes, sir.
But they have a full summer ahead of them, and we'll need to get them really engaged.
Yes, sir.
And see if we can turn the tide.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
Take
it.
Care.
Yes, sir. You too. Yeah. We need people like teacher, you know, because they really want to give back. We have a next call. Go ahead, call. Caller, you're on Inside Inner City.
Oh, godly day to this dark and white, along with you, Scourge.
Hey, good day.
Scourge, I listen to you, and let me show you. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what you said is exactly what's happening. But you know what basically the problem is? Let me show you something. When I was growing up, right? When we was growing up around here in Mason's, McCullough Court, Mason's Edition, our The longest we could be out in the evening is from till 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We had a bakery on East Street, right? Right by next door, about 2 doors from Archer's gas station, Bell Grand Corner. And our old lady, an old man, would send us there on weekends, you know, to buy sweets. And that closed, that used to close 8 o'clock. My old lady used to say, be back before that closed, okay? The thing is, today, we don't have any morals. The parents today, the majority of them, doesn't have any morals. I told Willa, now, I'm the charter member of the Saxon Superstars. I told Willa, let's start practice early so the little children would be home in time to go to school next morning, right?
Yes, sir.
The thing is, he don't want to do that. He's going to start practice around 10 o'clock, you know, 11 o'clock. Youngster's still out there. You know, you got to set the example, and most Drunk Canoe group that I know does that. You got to set example. You got to cut the right road. You see what I'm saying? When you're not cutting the right road, you don't expect for decency to come out of the youngsters.
Mm.
You know? And it bugs me because he doesn't do that. You know? It's just sick in this country, man. Nobody is set. Hardly anybody is setting the right example. Mm. And I'm speaking of from the top to the bottom.
Mm.
And something got to give. Somebody got to do something. This country needs a turnaround, man.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, community policing is so important right now. I don't know how it's possible unto the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I know that the Bahamas is a democracy country, and we have rights, you know, and we have to respect the Constitution. But at the same time, how could police officers see young kids on the side of the road? I know it's not the officer's responsibility. But at the same time, they're not grown-ups. So I don't know if the Minister of National Security could look at this and put this as part of the agenda and part of the program. Any kid under the age or still in high school should not be allowed to be out after 8:30, 9 o'clock in this country. If the police pass in any one of these inner city communities on the parks and et cetera, and they see kids playing basketball and it's past their bedtime, the police need to send them home. All right? They need to send them home. Because these kids now is be on the streets till around 11, 12 o'clock. And I see a lot of patrol cars pass and just leave them standing there. You know, and they have school in the morning. So these kids can become man and woman, the conversation they have in the streets, it's crazy. You know, because there are no more grown-ups hanging on the streets no more. You know, it's crazy. We're going to take this next call. It's crazy. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yeah, good evening, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Scrooge, let's let me and you be real, you know. Let's keep it real, right? Now, what percentage of the youth you think in the inner city to smoke marijuana? Half? More than half?
More than half, man.
All right. So, would you believe that it could be the same thing in the middle class areas or in the let's say in the school, in the high schools, in the private schools?
What you mean? Come on.
Okay, now. So, come on now. You know, when you have a marijuana joint, right, when you see a police, what are you going to do?
You cuff it.
Huh?
Cuff it.
Right. You can cuff it or you can eat it.
Right.
Some of them are running on it.
Yes.
Right? And you know, right, that these, in other words, these use them, right, they know the police can stop them and check them. Right,
yes,
and the police ain't gonna handle them in no decent way, right? You hear that?
I listen to you.
So these youths can know the police. These know, and then when they get locked up and go in the cell, right? They got the corrupt police who gonna keep their money for them and carry them down to jail and their contraband and the like and thing. And they, you understand what I'm saying? the ones who got the money or got someone outside the gate, the police, the corrupt police can wait for them. You understand me? So, and then you got the drug dealer out there. They waiting for the police. Some of them selling the drug for the police. Let's be real with this thing. Nah.
Right? Man, I ain't talking about the drugs, you know. I talking about the attitude of the parents and the kids. You know, I ain't putting the front of the police now.
Them know the system is corrupt. You understand me? Now, the thing with the parents, right? Come on now. Every poor parent ain't the same. You got some poor parents who can drink with their kids, you know? Now, a parent who's smoking with a child under the age, they just don't know no better. They never, you understand what I'm saying? They know the facts of that drug to the brain of that child, right? And then you have the rich kids. They do it, parents. They ain't drinking with no, ain't nobody in it, give no young child no rum.
They have their children disciplined.
What I'm saying is when kids get up here, they will drink with them.
Of course, that's how it's supposed to be.
Right. So when a child go then drink, see, when a child, yeah, every parent, poor child parent go and drink rum with their kid, not a kid on the edge. You understand me?
Yeah.
And see, they won off. You understand me? And see, you know what I don't like? I don't like when people in the media try to be blind to the poverty in the city. And every time, you know what happens? Every time a child gets shot or someone gets shot, they blame everything on the poor youth, their family and the units and the like. You see, that ain't right. You remember just in the news today, right? Our prime minister, he's off begging these international organizations for money because of climate change. Well, he's saying that we're not making the pollution that causes climate change, but then we having these bills and things, you know what I mean, because of the hurricane, right?
Yeah.
Now, when the poor people got issues, the poor people need a livable wage, right? They need proper health care. Right? They need some of them need public housing. But when his poor people ask for them things, the people in the media, the intelligent people or civil Bahamas, they can say, well, the Haitian don't need it. The Haitian could do this without and live without it. Come on, man. How could you go and wear a bag for money to save you, little country, but the poor man in your country's like, you ain't checking for them. Come on, man. You know poverty is a thing. Right? Hello?
I listen, you talking.
See, let me show you. The killing don't happen in the rich neighborhood.
Killing happen everywhere, man.
Not like it is. Not like it is in the poor neighborhood.
Yeah, but killing happen everywhere now, man.
Yeah, but not in the Bahamas. See anybody in out east and Vinton and thing shooting out and thing and that thing don't happen, man. Maybe, you know, the Lord is on, they saying the poor people don't know how to live. The poor people don't know how to discipline themselves. The poor people don't know how to go to school and learn and the like. Come on, we gotta do for our poor people, man. You understand me? We gotta do for our poor people. You see? And the thing what I don't like too, right? They like to put the Haitian on the poor beam. So the Haitian can do this, the Haitian can thrive and thing. But they fail to realize that the Haitian is the one who running the coke, or the foreign Jamaican is the one who running the hood. These people in the jailhouse, the Haitian criminal, he like the boss. I read it wrong, book.
No, you speak it. I can't. You speak it. I can't comment on what you're saying. You speak
it. Come on, you. That's why I want you to keep it real. See, you the man.
No, don't mind that. I'm supposed to know, but I don't answer everything because I ain't stupid. You think I stupid? I just born yesterday.
All right. So,
stupid.
So, you know what I want you to do? I don't want you to sell out them ghetto youths. Them ghetto youths.
Sell out. Hey, hold on, bro. Listen. When you say that, don't ever say that to me, my brother. Don't never say that to me.
Don't
sell out. No, you don't sell out. Listen to me. You don't see. I ain't no political operative for no PLP, no FNL, for nobody, nobody. Just, no. Listen, I used to read this place in this country, bro.
Yeah, because
I contribute. But don't never say me. Switch for what particular reason? You have to have an audience in order to reach people so people come and help.
But tell the youth and the truth, man.
Tell the youth the truth.
We ain't trying to go on no wild and
no.
Stretch. But we, you know, trying to help these youths them not to be violent. We want them to go out there and kill up one another and then we want them to unite. You know, these youths them need bro. These youths them need to organize themselves and get a union. Or, you know what I'm saying? You know, these youths them ain't no union. Because most of these youths them ain't got no government job. They, you understand me?
These youths ain't got no leadership, bro. You expect for them to get a union when they ain't even thinking about getting a union?
If you go around all in them inner city and you all the workers and you unionize them, then you could take their money and help them.
No.
They could pay you to help to support them, to represent them, you know.
Now you're talking.
These are the things you need to be doing.
No, not the things you need to be doing. Why me? Hold on. No. See, that's the thing where we going wrong with you. This for to encourage you to go make a difference. Not just me. Why me? Why you want me? Jesus Christ. I'm not Jesus Christ, bro. No, sir. Don't try to put it on me. I doing the best I can at a sacrifice. So you take the leadership.
I know.
We only talk.
United, but I don't lotion and powder.
Neither me.
None of these people, you know.
No, neither me, man.
Are you serious, bro? I ain't traveling that road with all them on, you know.
No. My road different, and your road different. You understand? So
right.
We all can make a difference.
Many to travel. So anytime all of them agreeing with you, or they go, you agreeing with them, all of them, something ain't right.
Hey, listen to me. I don't care who agree with me or who disagree with me, you know.
Right.
You don't get this. Listen to me. I don't care about all this popularity or who agree with me or who like me, who don't like me. I can care less. It look like I a person who give a crap who like me or who don't like me.
No.
I don't give a crap.
Yeah, maybe you want you to stay real, man.
All right, I don't give a crap. That is not for me.
Real, you know?
Yeah, because see, I know
and
what
all it's... All of you,
yes.
Part of you, man. You know,
yeah.
I'm you nine and do right.
Yeah, man.
Right. See, the poor people need help, bro.
Yeah.
You understand me? The poor people is the ones who need help, you know.
Yes.
The poor people, bro, them.
But honest
one
see?
Thing. One
go
more
ahead,
thing.
Go ahead.
You see that same independence? You know what that did to us?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
gave a two-party system.
We had majority rules, you know. Before independence, we had majority rule. We know what that did? That take away, our independence take away the responsibility of our colonial masters. You know, that left them off. That take them off the hook.
You're right.
You understand me?
You're right.
Like you have no anything but take silent people?
Yeah.
Them take silent people, they got majority rule, you know.
Yeah.
But then they could go in England with their red passport. When they go to school, they all the benefits with them British citizens out, they got.
Yes.
All the livable wage, all the health care and whatever.
Yeah.
You understand me? But they still could do what they want with their land, you know.
Yeah.
Give their land, their crown land, who they want, give them to. They govern themselves.
Yes.
You all see? Right. So... And the only person who, the people who suffer from our independence is the poor people, you know.
Yeah, because we is fools. Listen why we is fools. I can go on this. Listen why. You just talk about this now. When we got so-called partially independence, right? You know what happened? We got with a two-party system, which is the Free National Movement and the PLP, all right? In between there, we had the power once we became the first prime minister. And this is Lyndon Pinlin, when he became Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He had 25 years, and he did some great things in his first years. Then we had the next Prime Minister, Hubert Ingraham, then Perry Christie. Well, we had the power to do housing, to bring unemployment down, to create multimillionaires all around in Nassau inner city communities. But you know what we did? We enriched both the PLP and FNM, and we support them with our street captain. So we are the ones who messing things up right now, us. We
right.
Is the one who messing things up in this country.
Right.
Because everyone...
Watch this. Unite. So, the same thing with Lyndon Pinlin did. The poor people got to unite and remember this them who, you understand,
yes.
Still out there suffering.
Yes. See, that's our problem. And that's why we in this position we in now. Because we make multimillionaires in both the PLP and FNM.
Right.
And it passed on to their families and the pass on to the party members who get contracts. Instead of the people who get the contract and the government give you a contract, when nice contract to help yourself and help your community, these people who we call street captains or street generals, they take these monies and enrich themselves with it instead of go helping the community. A lot of these, see, the problem is we killing ourselves. We've been enriching both the PLP and the FNM. All of them is multimillionaires.
Go ahead. You think the boss employer going to want to give you a livable wage?
No.
And you don't want to do that?
I can tell you, you got to take it.
You got to demand that your government?
Yes.
You got to demand that your government put the legislation. You ain't in the government to go judgment.
That's right.
Nobody no money to put you on no bread line.
Yes.
To pay you in your work.
Yeah, but thanks anyway.
Thank you much, man.
No, my respect, man. I get the next call in the line. We're going to take this next call, and then I'm going to get back to the conversation. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Man, listen, very powerful conversation just now. And it's that conversation that really prompted me to call.
Okay.
You know, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
When you really look at the situation where we were, where we are today, you know, and you are so quite right, because you made reference to Sir Lyndon, and as far as independence is concerned, a lot of persons believe that this Bahamas is an independent nation. And
no,
you got to really look at that word independent in its truest context. The journey that Sir Lyndon started toward
independence,
hopefully bringing us to full independence. We are not fully independent.
He
has given us the right to govern ourselves.
Right.
It was a process that he began,
right,
with the hope that we would have been liberated to the point,
right,
where we become fully independent, which means that we would grow our own food.
Yes.
We would take care of ourselves without really any outside help. We are not even nowhere near that. So let's be very realistic about that. And you talk about majority rule. No. I'm tired of saying this on the radio. The only time majority rule comes into play for the Bahamian people is when election time comes around.
That's right.
There's no majority rule outside of that.
You're right.
We have outsiders still governing our lives,
yes,
on a
sir.
Daily basis. You talk about empowering the Bahamian people. You can't even go to the bank and get a bank loan.
Yes, sir.
For a business. To open a business.
Yes, sir.
The tax rates that they charge the average Bahamian compared to the outside who comes to here, who could get a loan with 1% and 2% on their money, but yet we are still left here holding the bag. It's atrocious, man.
Yes.
The sad part about this whole reality is we live in a country that is wealthy. And, you know, I could see the vision that Sir Lyndon may have had and his first cabinet would have had for the Bahamian people where today, there should have been more millionaires out of the average working class in this country compared to what we have today. But what the wealthy has done in this country have become wealthy. Friends, family, and lovers have become wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the door and they slammed the door shut in front of our faces.
And they took it from the white man and they had the power. And that's like you say, they slammed the door in our faces.
It is basically is the transference of that power from the white, what they call the white colonial slave masters, over to our brothers and sisters who are Uncle Toms in the house.
We call them
they took the power and are using it against their own people.
We call it
that's all we have today.
So we call those niggas say, what the movie with Samuel L. Jackson?
Okay.
Say, when he said the horse, who's the ugly guy?
So you know, in essence, what I'm saying is simply this.
Yes, sir.
You know, the power of the people is greater than the people in power.
Yes.
And until our Bahamian people realize to stop playing party politics.
Yes.
And realize that the power that they have in their hand can revolutionize this country, where the benefit, the prosperity benefits, the financial benefits of this country that the 1% enjoy, where the rest of us should also be enjoying.
Yes.
That will not happen. They will not give it to you unless you fight for it. Even if it means that you have to die for it. You have to fight for it to get it out of their hands.
Yes.
So, Bahamians, I don't know who you're waiting for, the savior.
Y'all best to get it.
Ain't no political party
that's
going to save you. Until the Bahamian people, who is the government, and this is the other part, Eugene goes in.
Go ahead, sir.
The Bahamian people is the government. The savior ain't sitting in the parliament as your representatives.
Yes.
You are the employer. Until we are able to recognize
that
we must take that power from the employees as employers and tell them and demand from them what we want done in this country, that only then will true change come to this country.
Yes,
thanks,
sir,
for taking my call.
Man, it's my pleasure. Okay, we have the phone lines lighting up, so I got to get some more calls in. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What's going on, Schools Brown?
All is good. All is good.
Yeah, give thanks. Yeah, man. Your boy Gardner representing, you know what I mean? Got to respect that. So, yes, what I got to say. He's correct on the demographics of the murder in the inner city. You know, I'm socially diversified. I normally call, and I don't really need no one to agree with me because, you know, I'm being ridiculed, lambasted, casted, hated, whatever, right? You know what I mean? So, if you have a map of the Bahamas and you do the demographics, you'll see that, you know, excuse me, man, you know most of the shootings take place in the inner city, right?
Yeah, but you don't know that, say. Also this, a lot of those guys who are doing the shooting come with them same rich neighborhood and coming in the inner city. That's what y'all don't know.
I don't know. Listen to me. It's very little thing. Right. I don't know, but I know within myself, the beginning of knowledge is the acknowledgement of my own ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like to read.
Yes,
so what I'm saying is, right, what Gardner is saying is true, because I just was talking about you and your program, what you're doing up there, right, Scoochie?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something now. Just give me a minute here.
Go ahead.
I live in inner city, brother.
Uh-huh.
And one day, you know, I was on the bicycle and I went to get something. I didn't cook. I went to get some crack on from the place, right? And it was a ghetto youth. Little youth, I don't know what he was, maybe around 12 or so, 13, 14, you know. And I saw him running, and he was running with such a speed, you know what I mean? I used to do track, and you know, I run on the 11 seconds a couple of times.
All right.
In high school and against St. Anne's and Johnson in the school, all that. But it was, now, I see the talent in the youth there, and so I asked, I'd be saying I'm talking to him because he come there to get something, and I asked him if he's doing any sports. And he say, no. I say, why not? He say, man, my mommy, I forget how much children she's saying. He had no uniform and something with lunch money and all these little different simple things. Why he ain't going to school? And I look at this dude. And that's not the only person I see break off running in the ghetto. Like, I could see talent. And I saying, my man always is on this track and field club, because this is what other countries do, like Jamaica, et cetera, you know what I'm saying? And so you have to be able to cite this talent, whether it's being ball. If I see a little youth, I'll encourage him in that paradigm. But we don't have the interest and the startup. Unlike the professor, I think that's Jeffy. So I get them mixed up. Who called? And the investment in the inner city, right? But what I'm saying is, one of the things that I've learned, see, like I said, I could be a part of any program because I know about eugenics. And so if you teach the ghetto youth about eugenics, then like Gardner say, maybe we might stop killing one another, but you have to teach eugenics because you have to teach the racial hatred. See, Scoochie, they're afraid of my bookishness. I'm bookish, right? So I don't, let me share something, but I don't get up and people talk about 52 is smart and knowledgeable. That breeds a sense of jealousy. 52 is not all about that. They don't understand me. When people see me, they say, man, this can't be you on the radio. Look like this. You're wearing this dreadlocks on WA. Are you normal? See, people don't really get it, Scoochie. You pick up on what they're saying.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Hubert Edwards last night, and he was saying, I boastful and all that. But I kind of disagree with Mr. Edwards. I like conversating with Mr. Edwards. Very bright. And he's a witty person, and he thinks, too, you see? But I let him know. I think also. And so anyone who thinks that I'm boastful because I say I read this book and read that book, they're totally incorrect. And so, a conversation with Dwight. Dwight said, what's my agenda? Dwight know my agenda, to bring out the truth to the beaming people and educate the people about the scientific literature that the CDC chief said that the public need to be educated on and to bring out the truth. And not to surrender to this globalist agenda so they might get ready. Listen to me. This whole global construct about supply chain disruption, I call it corruption, right? These cascade of events. Listen to me. It's backfiring. Listen to me. I used to read the Epic Times.
Yeah.
So Epic Crimes. So I don't need any local sheep, educated or not, to try and dissuade me from where I think, you know, what I know is going on. Because I look at it in a global perspective, and I juxtapose in this, and I juxtapose in that. And so what I'm saying, Scoochie, because I'm bookish, they want me to just dumb down the conversation on the plantation. Because you have to bear with me, you know. You feel what I'm saying, brother. I don't see these people. I'm I just treat you too, and a little educated, so they can't intimidate me unless they get rid of me. For what? What I doing so bad that I don't come on the radio. I never claimed I have a cure for anybody. All I'm doing is bringing out the truth that I learned from other people and that I'm able to juxtapose because I'm well-versed in the science. Right?
Okay, then.
Yeah, I'm always down these rabbit holes. So what I'm saying is, it is backfiring on the West now, right? Because what happens now, Russia, China, and some of the East, they control a lot of resources. Like Russia alone, you could find silver gold, oil, timber, wheat. They have found. So what I'm saying is the West, this whole instigation of this war against Russia and this Ukraine construct, this going against the Warsaw Pact, which was not to increase NATO membership, etc. It's a whole global paradigm that's being created that the sheep on the plantation don't understand. They just listen to a one-way paradigm.
Yeah, everything is connected.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, this is the supply chain disruption. This is all about inducing poverty. See, like people, and when people say it's not a conspiracy, I get, they just make me so sick, Scoogey. Like, I used to be wondering, like, what they read, if they mind of being funny. Like, they really think they're so educated, right? But listen to me, if 52 is a fool, why is it that he wasn't outsmarted by the scientists them and the science? Because I learn and reading from other scientists who I know, and I just common sense can identify. I could just go read scientific history.
All right.
And just juxtapose this and juxtapose that. You know what I mean? And so the reason why you read these books is because you have to establish facts and truths. And so life is based on deception. So someone thought otherwise.
Yeah.
A coniferous plant, right?
Yeah, you could speed it up just a little bit.
Yeah, hold on. Coniferous plant.
Yeah, a couple
it's pretty on the outside because it wants the insects to land inside it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so that's what life is based on. The same thing about our wealth. They're sucking up wealth and inducing poverty for a reason.
Yeah.
So remember now, the only way to deal with the poor is to get rid of the poor for sure, all right? And so we have seen these experiments against the black race throughout history. We have seen Louis Farrakhan talk about the Tuskegee experiment and the forced sterilizations and Henry Kissinger National Security Study Memorandum 200 and 220. I knew about this from like 2000, Scoozy. So my mind is full of anger and hate of the global sheep on the plantation in ignorance, believe because they've been away to college, they have all the knowledge, and they could subdue
it. I will get back to the topic.
And tell people how to think on the plantation.
Yeah.
Man, give me a break. Please, man.
Hold on,
stop
listen.
The eye bridging.
Listen, hold on, bro.
Yeah.
I was talking about the 13-year-old, so I don't want to go off course. I'm trying to get this thing with this 13-year-old, this age 13-year-old, so.
Yeah, bless him. Respect.
All right. You're making good sense, but like I said, all right. And I want you to listen to the interview when I talked about the guy who was released from prison, and they were going to post him as a sexual predator. And the government under the Ministry of National Security was made it aware to the general public that they were going to put him on the sex register file and let the general public know. Now, after he was released, I want to show you the mindset of our citizens, right? After he was released, they said they found him unresponsive to a street. And then 5 days later, he died. Now, they can't figure out what he died from, so he's still going through an autopsy. Now, they released his information. And then, a few days later, he was released. The information was released. And he was dead. So you know what that means? That means when that information gone out there, people got the information. Some young guys. I can't say if he got beat or etc. But the re-release, then for your information, your name to be put out there, the general public with your face, and then 5 days later you were found unresponsive. It only seems to me until the autopsy is done. This is just my assumption that some people, some young guys, saw him, see him in the neighborhood, and they saw that he was a sexual predator, and they attacked him. They took the law into their own hands. And that's our society now. You know? And that's our society. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hi, hello.
Good night, good night.
I just wanted to comment and encourage you, young man. I listen to you sometimes, not all the time.
Thank you.
And just want to encourage you. You know, it's not easy to come on and try to motivate the young people and talk about issues in this country.
Yes, ma'am.
But I don't know if you agree with me, but do you think that education is still the key for success?
Education is still the key, but not the education they're teaching right at this current moment. Business.
Not at the current moment.
If you're going to talk business.
But I'm saying,
Yes, yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that education is still the key. We have to free ourselves from mental slavery, right?
Yes.
And not perpetuate it. I mean, the government can do a lot, but the government's responsibility is to provide opportunities for all its citizens.
Yes.
Now, we have a number of public schools. What that does is provide provide you with the opportunity to have education. Now, not everybody is academic. I understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
But we do have trade schools, BTVI, and I just want to encourage the youth. I don't care from which community
you
came from.
Yes, ma'am.
I came from 8 Mile Rock. I was born in 8 Mile Rock.
Yes, ma'am.
Saw the drugs selling and all that. It's a mindset. And you have to want better for yourself.
Yes.
Right? Because children, people don't ask to be born into an environment they're here.
Yes.
And sometimes you have parents that don't, you know, they do the best they can, but they can't take care of you like you should be taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
But sometimes we have to, you know, just be strong for ourselves and know that we have to help ourselves.
Yeah.
And what we do and how we do that is through education. It's not easy, you know. We have a lot of persons out there that turn to criminality, right?
Yes.
And they're very smart with it. Can you imagine if they turn that into positive thinking?
Yes, yes.
Right, to motivate themselves. It's not easy, I know that. And I know that there's a lot of corruption out there, and it's easy to fall to the negative side. But we have to want better for ourselves and not perpetuate mental slavery. Like Bob Marley said, we have to free ourselves.
Yes, free your mind.
Right? Yes, we can't keep going back to, you know, history has a lot of atrocities in it. You can't, I think a lot of people, you know, hold that, and it kind of perpetuates the mental slavery because you think that, you know, you've been done wrong and you can't do any better, but you can, you know.
Yes.
I just want to say that education is still the key. And yep. What it does, it helps you to understand the what's going on in our society and enables you to speak up if you have education about something.
Yes.
You see? And so I just want to encourage you to continue.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Because I heard your story. I mean, it's admirable. Like I say, I come from the inner city like that, too. I went to public school. I'm a CPA now. I'm an accountant.
Oh, that's excellent.
And let me tell you something.
Hey.
Let me tell you something. It wasn't easy. You have to make a conscious decision to want better for your life. Whether your parents took care of you or not, it's their responsibility, mind you.
Yes.
But you have to rise above.
Yes.
And do it for yourself and speak up. And education will enable you to speak up and understand what is going on in this country, what you're entitled to, right?
Yes.
And what, as a human being, what you're entitled to. And you take advantage of that and you do the best you can.
Yes, I agree.
Right?
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. You did very well. And yes, education is the key.
And it is.
And to add something on to that, you talked about a lot of kids is not going to be academically inclined. So you talk about the trades and BTVY and et cetera. See, these are the programs that we have to be really introduced to the inner city, to the schools and et cetera, for the kids who are not academically inclined. Because if we give them trade and we teach them education.
This is the purpose. You see, I went to public school for a bit. We had guidance counselors. I still think that they have them in school.
Yes.
You take advantage of that. If
yes.
you're not academic, right, you know you as a man or a woman, but you want to use your hand, you go, you talk to your guidance counselor, you talk to your teachers like, look, listen, I'm a CD student in math, English, but I am very good at my high. I could fix car, I could grow something.
Yes.
I want to go that route.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
You go and you have to push, though.
Yes.
We have to, as a society, I hear it a lot on the talk shows. It just seems like this sense of entitlement that people, that things are going to drop. It's not. It's
no,
not going to drop.
It's
in your
not going to drop
not,
in your lap.
The savior is not. There's no knight on the white horse coming to save you. You know, you have to take advantage of opportunities. I know people make it hard for you. That don't stop you.
Yes.
You're a citizen in this country, and there are a lot of opportunities out there. The MPs are there in your communities. They have community centers. You go and you speak to them, whether your parents go or not. You go.
Yes.
You have to do it. People have to you know, just, you have to push yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
You be encouraged. You go ahead and keep telling your story. That encourages, I'm sure, a lot of young men out there.
Yes.
You know, because it is a better life than killing each other.
Yes.
It's a better life than smoking drugs
yes.
and doing all of that. It's a better life out there for you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very
all
much.
Right.
Did a
okay.
wonderful job.
No, all right.
Bye. Oh, we had some nice callers tonight. Every one of the callers made some valid points. You taking a break? All of the callers gave a great contribution here tonight on Guided Radio 96.9 FM. And there are a lot of people out there very concerned about the country. So please don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 after the break.
Right between Rest and Augusta.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in Tango. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry...
Rareback on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I got a comment stating here, supporting the lady who just calling on the radio just now. This person is saying, using your hands still requires brains. Education makes you better at what you do. Calculating, wire, even plumbing. Every trade requires basic math skills. And yes, education. And we have to spice it up, you know, put trades in the curricular system in the schools, okay? Because we see the kids of talent, they're on the park gambling. They're 13, 14, 15, staying on the parks. You know, it's crazy. We got to be more responsible with our kids. And I like to say to parents-to-be, future moms and dads at the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, if you're in school and you're getting your education, plan before you have children. So if a guy just won't get in your pants just for sex and he has no plans or no future to get you and him get married or say we're going to try to get our apartment and we're going to be there for 10 years and try to see how we're going to wake ourselves up in the next 10, 15 years to buy our own house for us to be able to have a better life together. And, you know, you could say, you know what, we could have one child now, and then in the next 7, 8 years, when the child reach 8 or 9 or 5 or whatever, and we're doing good, and both of us have a regular income of over $1,000, probably we could decide to have a next child. You see what I'm saying? So we have the plan. I'm encouraging people out there, those who want children, understand that children ain't just something that you want. It comes with a high price. It comes with support. It comes with education. It comes with teaching them morals, respect, you know, teaching them manners, you know, teaching them how to plan their future. So please plan, you know. Don't just go and go in a relationship just because you love somebody. Loving somebody is one thing, but how far this person is going to carry you, he or she? You know, plan. Just don't have these children, man. Just don't have these children, because just having children right now and just leaving them out here to struggle. And like the lady said, you know, you still could try. You know, all obstacles out here. You have poverty and crime and etc. But she's still saying that, you know, get your education and still try. You know, there's no knight or no white horses coming to you, okay? You know, the father tells us if you try, he assists. Okay, we have one more call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Good afternoon, Sir Jay Donna.
Good night. I'm fine. Good night to you.
Yeah, Sir Jay, I ain't got much to say tonight, but only one thing. I mean, like, listening to all these calls and everyone being so real, I think, man, it takes to all the way Friday. Like they say, the last dance is the best dance. But they say the last laugh is the best laugh. And in your instance, it seems like the last show is the best show, man. Because, I mean, all Geek and Ding. I mean, it's like, I ain't guessing, right?
Yeah.
But your show is so real. And people can call up and express themselves. I mean, not being to basically called to be derogatory to anybody or anything, but just express themselves. And I admire the way how you, I mean, I listened to you over the years, so, you know, because, I mean, when you first started off, you was like, you were trying to find where to go, but you know where you're at now, man.
Yes,
go
sir.
Like that, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's like, I mean, I know you ain't going to school that's a lie and all this, man. You got no degree and all these other things, type of losing like that, right?
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something, you're so real, right? And honestly, when it comes to truth, right? Truth will outshine any kind of intelligence.
Yes.
I'm talking about dogmatic nonsense that will just, I mean, like to say, well, you, because you can, you will take over 3 hours and only give you one. Give it Scrooge one, but take it three.
Yes, yeah.
You see what you're talking about? I mean, let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you're in charge, you can do whatever you want to do, right?
Yes, sir.
But at the end of the day, I mean, the people, I mean, like, your boss and whoever, I mean, I just at the station, right? But I mean, it's like they got you on last, right? When you're supposed to be on place on Monday morning, talking the real talk and not be, I mean, like,
I understand.
Hello?
I listen in.
Would be yourself as a diet of just gumbo and not, it's like half a second for callers to call in. Texts are more important than calls, and everything is just it's screened, and it's just like narcissism at its best. Mm. You see, I mean, it ain't cool. I mean, like, because, you know, at the end of every day, all of us citizens, we may get on a high pedestal,
yeah.
But one day come, you got to come right down to the small man and live up with all us and things like that. But how you could feel knowing that you are in that kind of way and then allowing people to have their freedom of speech and even constitutionally be bound to hindrance of speech, like I'm talking about not to be hindered in our speech.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? The Constitution guarantees that, you know.
Yes.
And for talk shows to feel like, because you have the talk show and because, well, you could hang up. You know, public, listen from the public, I mean, listening to it, It isn't good. It isn't cool because it only shows that ignorance, because of the mere fact that no one knows at all. The public know more than every single, the general public knows more than, and I don't care which talk shows on the talk, on radio, the general public, there's more knowledge in the general public than one person that runs the talk show.
Yes.
Am I wrong or right?
You're right, because there's a combination of smart people out there with different...
Views, man.
Yes, yes.
And not because, I understand, right? Because, I mean, like, normally, I just don't get hang up on Scrooge, man. When they call in the station, and think, I've been calling the station over almost 20-some years, cold like that,
yeah.
Right? And I mean, like, it reached a level right now. I mean, personally, I call once in a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, this station, right? But it reached a level where you listen, and you know the outcome of every caller would be... depending on if the caller agrees with whatever the host is talking about. The host ain't supposed to be real dogmatically putting things out there, and then you know everything, and insulting people.
No, that's
every
not
every day insult people.
No,
and then come on the next day and brag about 9 years, 10 years now. 10 years insulting people, my Scrooge, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think you them be like, oh, they just see? If they can't express themselves, like the adults can't express themselves, what do you think about the children?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, we just got to be decent towards each other, man. That's all I can say, man.
Yeah.
And all of us have a right to speak what we want to speak, as long as we are not defaming or insulting anybody. I mean, I'm talking about, if you do something wrong now, expect us to talk about it.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. But Scrooge, you ain't going, because I'm of course, you lose a good job, man. Because, I mean, Scrooge, you
might... No, man, nobody talking good stuff, man.
Like the cars need to get shuffled again, more on the bottom, need to go on the top, you see?
Yeah, I understand what you said.
Because, I mean, they give you the last, just a last, Yeah, sure, it's supposed to be 3 hours, man.
Yes, sir. Probably these...
I hear you.
Yes, sir. I said, probably these comments were getting there as a management, you know?
They ain't going to listen to me. More people need to call in and say that. But Scrooge, honestly, man, you need to be on, like through the weekend, you know, because I ain't telling you no lie, right? Guardian Radio got plenty show, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, how real shows like yours, man. We, like, you know what?
just tired of just anything and anything and this smart, like bully, and they know, oh, yeah, insulting people. That ain't cool.
No, see.
That ain't cool.
That's why I take on this personality. See, I use my personality coming off the streets, right, to see how I could be a change in the day and see how people could see. But look at this guy. He was on the streets. He was a gangster, but look how he conducted himself.
You real man. I tell you no lie, right? When you come on this radio and you're talking, I don't care who listening, ain't no one could disagree with nothing with you saying. Because you're talking the truth.
Yeah. Everyone said
that. Talking about?
Yes, sir.
Once you're keeping it real and thinking, like, some people don't want to hear it, right? They turn the radio off, but you know what? When people want to know what the truth is, it's almost like setting up, I don't go to church. You see what I'm saying? But I mean, like, the truth is the truth, right?
Yes, sir.
And when I get guided to any place, any man that makes me feel so good.
Yes.
I'm telling you, man.
Yes.
But in this country, look at me, be afraid of the truth. And yes. People talk the truth, they people get angry and things, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But truly, like I say, man, your boss need to put you on the top, man. Take you from the back. I'll put you in the front, man.
Thank you very much, man. You did a wonderful job. Thanks for the comment, man. Thanks for the good work, too, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it. You guys just make it happen for me, you know. And that's what I do. I'm a truthful person. There's no one out there who know me personally. They know I'm truthful. That's why I last so long on the streets.
If you'd like to make a
because
call...
Because that's the person I talk truth. There's nothing I'm going to say on this radio or... If I call it Lyndon Pinnell name, or if I call Perry Christian name, or if I call Hubert Ingham name, or Debbie Bartlett, or whoever name I call, I always tell the truth, regardless. Okay, we have one more call. Call, we can give you 2 minutes if you can make it real quick, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scrooge, how you doing?
I'm fine. Good night.
Yes, man, this brother Amos.
Amos.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Amos.
Good evening to everyone listening. You know, I heard President Joe Biden made a statement today. He said, the rule of law matters in all democracies. And for those of us, the rule of law, being very brief, my brother, as relates, and what I have in my mind is the death of that young 13-year-old boy, the death of all the young men in our country, the proliferation of firearms on our streets, for how many governments? I'm not going to point no finger at no government and be disrespectful.
Yes.
This is a New Day government, and they're doing a hell of a job. The rule of law, the mechanism, process, institution, practice, or norm that supports the equality of all citizens before the law, secures a non-arbitrary form of government, and more generally, prevent the arbitrary use of power. Arbitrariness is typical of various forms of despotism, absolutism, authoritarianism, and totalitarianism. Despotic governments include even highly institutionalized forms of rule in which the entity, at the apex of the power structure, such as a king, or in this case, prime ministers, or a junta, or a party committee, is capable of acting without the constraint of law when it wishes to do so. Now, I said that to say this, and I'll stop there. Law, all of us, according to the preamble, as a nation, as citizens of a nation, decided when we reach 18, whether you know it or not, not knowing the law is no excuse to the law. That's your problem if you don't know the law. Now, at the end of the day, we all, as citizens of this nation, is called to respect the law of this land. And when any of us fail to do any of which I have said, the law and the brunt of the law must come down. If we don't want no guns on our street, make the penalty for guns, especially when you're brought guilty, heavy, 25, 30 years. You got to put the weight behind your word. No weight, no word. They ain't hear nothing. Okay, I don't pick up a gun. I'm 52. I thank Yahweh Elohim for sparing my life, and I'm seeing you running out of time. I'm going to cut this right here.
Yes, sir.
All I'm saying, my brother, thank you for allowing me to come on. My young brothers and sisters in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, young and old, rich and poor, let's together obey the law. Good evening.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say to all the callers, you guys did a phenomenal job on Aries. The lady, she did a wonderful job. You know, someone sent a message say, Duncan was right. You know, I feel that a lot of the comments were right. And I just want y'all to understand the age of 13. 13, we heard Scott, who's the sexual predator who was released from prison. If you listen to the interview earlier, you'll see where he went to prison and ended up in maximum security at the age of 13. Timothy Cole, same thing. Samuel Musume McKinney, same thing. But they come out of the community. But before they're 13, they were growing up in the community. So a lot of stuff went wrong in there. And the stuff that went wrong is the lack of opportunity. It's the lack of our government, who's supposed to provide the opportunity to make sure that we put the citizens in the right position to be successful in the country. Similar to House Lyndon achieved being the prime minister of the country and helped make multimillionaires and Frankie Wilson, the late Bradley Roberts, and all of Dr. Bernard Nordage, and all of big multimillionaires, past and present, some are deceased and some are still living. So we have to be able to use that same mind thinking now and be able to help uplift those in the inner city community so that we can be able to grow our children up in a better environment, not for us to be sitting on smoking dope with our sons and daughters, not to be mothers drinking and smoking with their daughters and having conversation while they still have young children in the house. So when you're going to say smoking is bad to your kid, they're going to say, well, you smoke and you smoke. Same thing as drinking. You know how much kids are walking around right now at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16 drinking rum and smoking marijuana, and they don't have no respect for nobody, and they're in the road cursing, rowing their mother and their daddy, fighting their mother and daddy, and that's what goes on in our country. The other day, I saw on social media, I think it was Aaron Billy School or one school, where an armed police officer was trying to apprehend a young 14-year-old boy, and some other students was there, and this 14-year-old or 15-year-old boy was throwing blows at the police officer. The police officer had to get mad and yuck out the service we were and gave him a good pistol whipping, which he truly deserved. So what kind of upbringing did that kid who fighting a police officer? It comes down to parenting also. And see, that's the same thing I'm talking about now. Plan your future before you have these children, because you're going to bring these children into this world. Like me. My mom and dad, they ain't planned for me. Excuse my language, I'm going to say it. Far as I can say, all they was a... I think my mom and dad, they had no plans for me. All I think I was just a mistake that they was having fun. Their boyfriend and girlfriend probably just met. They just decided to go do hanky-panky and make a child. But they had no future plans for me. And that messed my life up. And probably that took me on the wrong path, because if my father was there for me when I was young, I wouldn't have been in the streets late at night. I wouldn't have been dealing with drugs. I wouldn't have been organizing gang activity. Always thinking folly. We have to plan, you know. We have teachers in school, to the young girls and the young boys in school, the plan that you're going to school of education. And that before you decide how children, think about the consequences. You know, children slow as you're done. You're done in poverty. So if you finish the 12th grade and you think about having a child,
Wait till you get a stable job. Make sure that you can be able to pay your rent, or you can rent to own, and that your partner, your boyfriend, and you all are working together, you know, to build a strong family life in this country. Okay, you just can't be having children. And like I say, I think my parents, they ain't planned for me. Okay? I never got hugged from my mom. I never got hugged from my daddy. I never got dropped to school from my mom. I never from my mom, not of my daddy. My mom passed away a few years ago. She changed her life around. She became a great person. And I was happy for her. But the days, we haven't too much unwanted children in this country. And they stagnated. And they don't have the right guidance. And like I said, 13-year-old got killed by a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old. Where did they get the gun from? Huh? This is in the community. No one is telling you go get a gun, you know, and go shoot somebody, you know. It's just the mindset of our youths. If you get them mad, the only thing they're going to think is violence in this country. Boy, it's crazy. We're getting ready to close out. So I just want to say this. Plan for your future. Plan for your child. All right? Just don't have sex. Don't go to the nightclub just to go look for boyfriend and because you know he checking when gal, you won't go sleep with him just to get spite at her. And then you won't have a child for him just to spite her because he have two child for her. So if you have a child for him, you know, this could bring him to you or vice versa, the same thing with the female. You know? That is not the way to be. You know? That is not the way to be. When you have these children are a great responsibility. All right? And our government is going to invest more in the inner city community with housing like they're doing now. I'm looking to see if we can get BTVY in my community in Grandstand. We're in the new community center of Bill Lenahan. And I'm encouraging those who live in the Lewis Street, the Hay Street, the Mason Edition area, and a little further to Bluel Road. When the new state-of-the-art center is built, please bring your kids. There'll be many scholarships given out. There'll be many programs given out. There'll be starting small businesses with this community center. All right? And this is all for the kids and the grown-ups in our community to provide them an opportunity so they can have a better education, a better life. And something that is provided for them by a group of people from Lenahan, Bahamas, who want to make their life a lot better. So I'm encouraging people who live in the area, follow up on Lenahan. If a kid is not registered into any programs, we will be having a brand new three-story state-of-the-art community center. We'll be giving them scholarships. So get your kids registered if you live in Lewis Street, Taylor Street, and Hay Street area, or Mason Edition, or Bantan. The opportunity is out there. Get your kids registered. There's a lot of opportunities going to be available with the new, brand new Lenahan Community Center on Lewis Street. And like I said, 13 years of age is like, that is where our youths go wrong. So we have to provide a better opportunity for our kids. And we need a lot of leaders, again, to step up in the country, in your respective community. All right? Don't just let the kids roam around the streets. And to the police officers, when you're patrolling your patrol car, you're seeing these kids, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, are on the side of the road or in the parks or walking the streets or going to the store. Officers, stop your car and send them home. All right? Stop your patrol car and send them home because these kids now are just doing what they want to do on these streets. And parents, you're leaving your daughters out around 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Your daughters, your 13-year-old daughters, your 12-year-old daughters, your 14-year-old daughters. What do you think they're doing? Parents, look for your children. Set some type of rules and regulation that you got to be in this house. If you're in school, you got to be in this house 7:30, 8 o'clock. Any later, you're on your own. All right?
Take responsibility. Your kids are not your friends. Parents, stop drinking with your kids. Stop smoking with your kids, okay? Talk with your kids. Show them love. All right? Your kids are not your friend. Don't be afraid to punish your kid. All right? I see all these kids talking back to their parents. So what you think they're going to do to me and you? All right? Okay? So I hope you all enjoy the show. And for all the callers and listeners, I just, you know, this is like my heart, man, you know? Because I see it's no ending. It's just murder, 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 over and over and over. Starving to the school, same thing. You know? Shooting on public parks, you know? And we need to put security officers on the park a certain time and just allow the kids to be in the park for a certain time. Then we lock the park. You know, the minister's saying now they want to put some cameras on the park. That'd be good. But also you need security officers on the park too. All right? So, I hope you enjoyed the show. For the rest of you, I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge. I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke it on, bro. Boy, I from it on, bro.